We are recording.
Hey, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Wednesday, June 17th, 6 p.m. I call this meeting as National Airport Authority Board. Chris, can you call the roll, please?
Chairman Woods.
Here.
Treasurer Heath.
Yes.
Director Garrett.
Present.
Secretary Holland.
Here.
Okay. And we have another director to get his absence this evening. So first item of public input as it relates to this evening's agenda. Minutes of approval of the NAA public minutes of May 20, 2026. Anyone care to make a motion on that?
I will make a motion to accept the minutes as presented.
Seconded. Okay, discussion. Okay, since we have a remote member, this will be a roll call vote. Chris?
Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
Director Garrett?
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Yes.
Okay, so moved. We're going to defer the treasurer's report for a moment. So we have one formal communication that's come from East Coast Aero about cluster fuel. We'll address that, in new business tonight. And that brings us to reports. So first up is the Fowler report. And what I'm seeing here is that we have 5129 operations, up 167 from last month or 3%. Year to year, down 155 or 3%. And year to date, plus 15. And that brings us to the manager's report.
Okay. Upcoming events this weekend, Saturday, June 20th, we have the New Hampshire Aviation Museum Barbecue and Fly-In. It'll be held at Hangar 91, where it's typically held at Hangar 81. This year it's going to be at Hangar 91. Terrence from Infinity Aviation has reached out to all the tenants in that area. I reached out to Rotor Tech as well. Everybody's aware of the event. That whole area will be closed off. For the safety of all the participants. And in addition to the museum barbecue and fly-in, we have a Young Eagles event that'll be going simultaneously out of Hangar 97, which is on the end of that row of hangars. Additionally, this weekend, the women from the 99s group is coming back to finish the painting of the compass rose. Hopefully they'll be able to wrap that up on Saturday. We had a little rain delay last time. The only other event we have scheduled right now is the Wheels and Wings for September 19th. I'll give you more information as we get closer to that. It's going to be the hopefully typical event with about 4,000 attendees. Other items of interest, we had Meridian Land Services, and they surveyed and marked up the pavement for the runway 4 runoff area for the Compass Rose painting project. So it's all legit in terms of the magnetic headings surveyed by the licensed surveyors. The Compass Rose is nearly complete. Like I said, big thank you to the 99's chapter for volunteering their time and effort to make this happen. It was a good-sized group. We had a really good day. I was out here all day with them, as well as Joe Callahan. They're doing a great job, and we really appreciate it. The runway crack seal repair, remarking, and the AWOS saws relocation projects have been completed. Everything was completed on schedule with minimum runway closures as we executed the two projects simultaneously. Thank you to Gale Associates, Director Matt Caron, and resident engineers Danny Quarian and Andrew Lanza for all their efforts associated with the project. I'd have to say that the AWOS project, the easiest project that we've ever done in terms of, we had a fantastic contractor that didn't require my supervision constantly out there. Danny was out there constantly. But they did a great job, and so thumbs up to the contractor. And I'm sure Danny and Matt will talk more about those projects. Other things, excuse me, I'm working with several contractors seeking quotes for the new roof. We're close. We're waiting on one more quote. I've met with two of the contractors post-quote, and what we were getting was we weren't getting apples and apples in the quotes. So as I meet with these contractors, we're able to basically make it so everybody's quoting the exact same items and methods for doing the work. So most likely I'll be signing a contract next week with one of the roofers. Same with the landscapers. I met with the representative, Eric Brandt from P&L Landscaping, as well as Dave from North Point. And again, we're trying to make it so that we're talking the same materials, work, et cetera, trying to get quotes aligned with each other. I did have quite a few changes with, you know, I had the gentleman in from P&L the other day, where so he's reworking all the changes into it, and he'll get back to me, he said, by next week. So hopefully that stuff will start happening soon before the snow comes. June 2nd, met with city officials of Nashua, the Office of Corporation Counsel, Steve Bolton, Celia Leonard, and Community Development Director Matt Sullivan. I know that in the past we've talked about the Deerwood Drive property that a lady is looking to develop. That has been dragging on for quite some time. She is engaged and recently filed a lawsuit against the city of Nashua for delaying that project. We are not named in this lawsuit, but I was brought in to work in the background of this lawsuit, we'll say, and, you know, explain the impacts on the airport, et cetera. But again, we're not named in that lawsuit that is going on. On June 11th, myself and Matt Caron met with New Hampshire DOT Bureau of Aeronautics and Jacobs Engineering representatives, and we discussed an obstacle action plan analysis. And I'll just give you the great news. First of all, they did this on every airport in the state. The DOT contracted Jacobs, and in the end, we have no obstacles. So we have to do essentially nothing. Would you concur, Matt?
Yep.
And that was the gist of that meeting.
Obstacle action plan,
I've ever seen. Yes. And we were the only one in the state that had no obstacles. So.
What kinds of obstacles were there?
Man-made obstacles and vegetation.
Okay.
Now, with that being said, we do have an obstruction to the Mauser, which was not accounted for in their investigation of the obstacles, the obstructions. So I reached out, the FAA has reached out to me about removing all this vegetation. So I said, well, I'd like a formal letter from the FAA. They've started working on that. They're actually going to come down and survey this vegetation is what it is. And then we will submit that to New Hampshire DOT to attempt to get funding to mitigate this this obstruction to the Mauser. I found that kind of interesting that they didn't pick up on this during their investigation.
Yeah, they didn't look at the Mauser.
Yeah. But other than that, good news, no obstructions we have to deal with. That's all I have. Anybody have any questions?
What's the current status of, you know, pressuring the, you know, all the locks on the access points to the airport?
The current status is a couple of weeks ago when they were supposed to start the project. We had a few hiccups when the installer came in. We resolved that. We had to reschedule the start of the install. They were trying to do it Monday of this week, but obviously they weren't able to just sit around and wait for us. So they started another job. They were hoping to get here by the end of this week to start the job. So that's the status. We processed, I don't know, Susan, how many cards now? So over 300 out of the 1,200 that we anticipated. So people are getting ahead of this. to gain access. But what's going to happen is even when we put the system into play, people will be able to call us and we'll be solving these issues immediately. And at the same time saying, look, we gave you a few weeks' notice, work with us. So.
Question then?
Yeah. How will we physically know that the new system is up and running? Will the box look different?
Yep. You will see a completely different, it's basically a keypad looking thing with a blue light.
Okay. But like what's in your office?
Yeah. It's identical to that. And it'll be blatantly obvious.
Okay.
And, yeah, it should work seamlessly.
Okay. Thank you.
Fingers crossed.
It's been recorded.
Fingers crossed.
Okay. Any other questions this evening, Chris? Okay, thank you. Dave, you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, we're going to have the treasurer's report.
The moment you've all been waiting for. This is for the month of May. We got caught up last month. Not a lot of, I think this is kind of like a broken record, not a lot of things going on a monthly basis. Variance to budgets, revenue's up a little bit, thankfully, but most of it's not just like additional revenue, it's simply revenue that wasn't budgeted. Because a lot of it has to do with the new leases that we put in place over the last several months that we didn't know about when we built the budget. So that's all showing up as positives in this year's financials. So, and we've talked about this before, we have more storms, so more revenue there. The flowage fees are still lagging, which they improved a little bit. In the month of May, but we're still about 14,000 behind on those. But overall, from an operational perspective, we're about a net of 31,000 ahead of the game, ahead of budget. Again, a lot of that's because of leases that we didn't budget are now in place. The other thing. That of note here, and I've got a little question for Susan about this. We seem to be doing, I mean, it's a good thing, we're doing pretty well with this finance charge income. We said it got us about $2,300 so far this year. But that concerns me a little bit in that, does that mean people are behind in their
there is
on their
one or two customers that I need that I believe that I should discuss with Chris and you what we need to do about that.
So we're accruing these?
Yeah.
We're not collecting them.
Not on all of it. Some of it we do.
So okay. So of that roughly $2,400, some of that may not come in.
Yes.
So that can be reversed.
Yes.
Yeah. So it would be good to get our arms around that before the end of the month so we can.
I agree.
Yeah. Clean that up before we close the end of the year.
I agree.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you. So that's all I got. Anybody have any questions?
Good. Yeah. Jess, are you good?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate the summary and the meeting along.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm looking for a motion to approve the 2026 financial statements subject to audit.
All right. I think the motion is the
May 31st. I'll second the motion. Any further discussion? Okay, Chris, could you call the roll, please?
Sure. Chairman Woods.
Yes.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
Director Duquette? I'm sorry, Garrett?
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Yes.
Okay, motion carried. That brings us to committees, of which we have none. Old business, there's nothing hanging over us right now. I'm sorry. Matt, forgive me.
Yes. Engineers report. Yes, thank you.
Matt got excited there.
Matt Karen and Dave Carrion here with Gale Associates. Our update's really quick tonight as well. Chris brought up the AWOT and SAWS project as well as the runway track field project. Both of those have been completed. We are scheduled to have a final walkthrough with NHDOT, the FAA, J.D. Cunningham on June 24th at 11 a.m. Once those final walkthroughs are done, if there's any sort of punch list items that need to be addressed, we'll address those. Otherwise, we'll look forward to closing both of those projects out. The FAA construction reimbursable agreement, that's the grant application that was submitted to the FAA several months back. We're waiting for funding on that. That is what's going to reimburse the Airport Authority on the funds for the construction phase services for the FAA observation portion of the project. So this one's going to stay on here until that is funded, and then we can turn around and reimbursement request, get the authority reimbursed 97.5% on that one.
I'm sorry, what were you going to talk about?
The FAA construction reimbursable agreement.
Okay.
It's on page 404 of RFP, project number 3.
Yes. So right now, the project was 216, and we've self-funded that?
You haven't self-funded the whole thing. I don't know, Susan, you may have a sense. There were two payment installments that the airport funded out of that. So the FAA reimbursable agreement was X number of dollars. We worked with the FAA to break it up so we could pay them in three different installments. I believe two installments were paid.
$92,000.
So there's no more installments that are going to be paid since the project closed up. But that grant application is in. That was the amount of money that it went in for. And then once that is awarded to the authority, we'll go ahead and put a reimbursement request together to get you 97.5% of that $92,000 that Susan.
Okay, so right. We have essentially a receivable of about $90,000 that we're going to get. So that's going to take how long?
I don't know. Whenever that gets funded from the FAA, the fiscal year 2026 or anything, can't probably when. Probably sometime over the summer.
Okay. August time frame,
maybe.
So has that been submitted? The application says that application has been submitted.
Correct.
But we haven't gotten the award yet.
That is correct.
So we can't record the receivable until we get the award. Okay. I'm just thinking about your rate. Okay, we'll talk about it. So who's the contractor on this? Is it you?
It's the FAA. So we have a piece of this because there's grant administration work that we did. There's some observation work under the construction phase services that we had to do.
Yeah.
So we will be getting reimbursed, and then the authority will be getting reimbursed because you funded that 92,000 and change. So you funded that, so you're going to get reimbursed, and Gail's going to get reimbursed for.
So who do we pay?
So basically
they're the contractors, along with you guys.
That is FAA.
Yeah.
I will give you their number.
other questions on that project? Okay, seeing none. The fourth and final project is the hotel ramp design and permit for reconstruction. So this one here, we sent in a part of the grant application per NHDOT's request so that we could basically position the airport's CIP so that this project is going to be a design project for 2026 with the goal of reconstructing this in presumably 27 or 28. This is just the design portion of it. We submitted a placeholder to NHDOT, like I said, for their request to sort of solidify the airport's thoughts in terms of the grant funding for this year. The airport received the IFE document. Chris has been working with Telegwota, Susan Winslow of Telegwota, to conduct the independent fee estimate. We were hoping to have that back by today. I thought Chris had actually meant she was going to get it back to you today.
She told me this morning, yes, but unfortunately that has still not happened.
So seeing that we need to get the grant application in, I think no later than mid-July, what I would recommend is that we don't have to convene the authority for a special meeting in July if this is acceptable and amenable to the authority. My recommendation would be to authorize the chairman and or airport manager to revise the grant application and accept Gail's fee for the project not to exceed $600,000, which is the placeholder that we put in. I can tell you right now that the fee that we have come up with is $550,225. There's a local share of $13,755. So we're well under the placeholder number. We just don't know what the IFP number is. If the IFP comes in and they are lower than our $550,000, there's negotiations that we need to enter into. Typically that happens with Chris, the airport manager, and the independent fee estimator. We go back and forth trying to figure out why we're high or why they're low. There's some back and forth on that, and then we ultimately arrive at an amenable number to both parties, for all three parties, I should say. So I don't know if I've explained that well enough. I could take questions on that, but again, to make sure that we can get the grant application in before that mid-July deadline and not reconvene the airport authority, I think that makes sense, but I'd open it up to any questions.
Okay, well, I guess at this time, I'd like to move that we authorize manager Chris Lynch to modify the IFB. Is that correct?
I would say authorize the airport manager and authority chairman to execute a grant application not to exceed $600,000 for the hotel ramp design project.
Okay, what that said. Okay. Anyone want to second that motion?
Yeah, I'll second it.
Okay, we have discussion on the motion.
A quick question. Who is Telegwota?
They're another engineering firm, airport engineering planning firm. I want to say they're based out of maybe New Jersey, but they provide independent fee estimates for work like this. We do the same. Gail does the same. Like, we'll get random calls for airport. So let's just say they're using Jacobs Engineering and they have a hotel ramp design. They'll give it to Gail Associates. We'll go through, we'll put a price tag to it. We'll say this is what we think it would take for us to do said job. We provide that back to either the airport manager or the chairman. Now the airport manager and chairman has Jacob's fee, they have Gail's fee. Typically, if you're within 10%, the FAA finds that to be acceptable.
And we've used Telegwota in the past, in 2023, this particular engineer, Susan Winslow.
Check them out.
Are there any more questions for Matt on this issue? Jess, are you good?
I'm good. Thanks, Matt.
Okay. So let's call the roll for all those in favor of authorizing Manager Lynch to modify the contract. Both of you, for both of us, to modify the contract up to a maximum of $600,000.
Actually, executing.
You're going to modify the grant application and then ultimately contract with us. First things first, grant application, we'll talk contract.
Okay, so the motion is to modify or prepare the grant application and have it signed by both Farrell and Chris. Second that one.
Okay, roll call, please.
Chairman Woods.
Yes.
Treasurer Heath.
Yes.
Director Garrett. And Secretary Holland.
Yes.
Okay. That motion carries.
Okay. I'm all set.
Where's the tower? Forgive me if it has to close out that thing. The tower is done for now?
The tower is done for now. Unfortunately, didn't receive funding before that.
Right.
But we're going to continue to pursue opportunities as they arise. You've got the preliminary plan in place, so.
That project was all funded, paid, that part is done.
The site study and the site selection. And they've opened up the funding for the construction for another 4 years.
Yeah.
So we have 4 years to secure that funding. Yeah. And the FAA stated in a meeting that Pat and I had with them that they support this project, they just didn't have enough money to do it this year.
Remember that was going on, I just didn't know if there was anything else things to worry about.
Okay. Not at this moment.
Yeah. Okay, so that circles back to new business. East Coast Aero Plus request to enter into a value for the purpose of installing a self-service fueling station for 100 loaded at a usually acceptable location.
Mark will speak to it.
Hi, Mark Holzer, president of East Coast Aero Club. What I'm really asking for is permission for you to grant permission for me to work with airport manager Chris Lynch to find a suitable site for a self-contained, double-walled, roll-off fuel system, 10,000 gallons, that once we get a site selected, we would enter into a lease negotiation, and once we had a signed lease, we would enter into an engineering contract with the company to design and build this project. But I brought some pictures just to give you an idea of what it might look like. There are three examples in here. It would be a single tank, 10,000 gallons. I think it would be a nice addition to the airport. It would be able to 24-hour access to fuel. So really, I'm just looking for this is a very preliminary start.
What's the cost on something like this?
The total cost will be about $200,000. And the salesman tells you it's $150,000, and then you know it's
$200,000. $100,000 for what exactly?
A roll-off, site preparation of concrete, a roll-off, double-wall fuel system. Oh, here, this is, it looks like. So it needs to be new power, yeah.
Including the tank.
Jessica, I just sent you the picture that he just handed out.
I just got it. Thank you, Dave.
So the master plan at the location.
I'm proposing 10,000 gallons. So it can take 10,000 gallon fuel truck. With a little bit spare.
Price?
Yeah,
price.
Okay. I got more money.
Yeah, no.
How much would you like?
So you would be the fuel vendor?
I would be the East Coast Aero Public, or a separate LLC may be the fuel vendor.
We're going to be working with you, Matt, as our engineer for citing for this. And Wes just mentioned it is on the ALP, but I think we need to really put some deep thought into this.
And I'd be happy to help out and share some of our experiences and what we're seeing.
I'm pretty novice. I just know that there's self-fueling at many airports, so it's not uncommon.
Will you trust to be the primary customer?
We probably would be. I think we're the largest fuel purchaser of WorldNet on the airport right now. We buy about 27,000 gallons a year. We just added another airplane, so the airplanes are up 17% already, and we're probably going to be bringing some more. So growth is in the future, and fuel is probably my second largest cost besides payroll and insurance. So it's important to control that cost.
Would your fuel supplier
be? It would be to be determined. That's way down the road. It wouldn't obviously be Titan, because Titan has a contract here on the airport, but it could be an independent fuel supplier. There's several.
Are there any plans for fire suppression?
The engineer who designs the project would design the project within the parameters of whatever requirements you have or the state has for fire. I'm not an engineer. I've never designed a fuel farm. I'd pay somebody to do that, so I can't. It would meet all state and federal requirements.
Plans for diking around the tank?
Yeah, again, it's a double-walled, self-contained fuel tank above ground, so it's already got its own containment system, because the double wall, if the first tank penetrates the second, the fuel would stay in the second tank. So there really wouldn't be a need for. I don't know.
No, you're right, Mark. This is typical with these double wall tanks. Example is Laconia. And I first noticed that we were getting fuel at night there one time. I was like, well, how do they not have a containment? Because it's double wall, it's not required. It's its own containment system.
You know, my brother's in the petroleum business up in Maine. He has tank farms, and he has double wall tanks. And the EPA needs to put sites around.
Yeah, I've been to several airports with double walls that don't require it. We have single walls here, and they do require it. And if, like Mark said, if the NHTES or EPA does require it, then they'll comply.
I think along the line, you put Matt over there, that you got to figure 200,000, you might want to double that before you're done.
It's fine. It doesn't matter.
But I think before we talk about ground use, we've got to do the scoping.
Well, that's the thing. We need the site identified. Yeah. We need to know what the size of the ground lease is going to be. And then, that's the first step. I need to work with Chris to make it, I'll put it in an appropriate place where you want it. It's not where I want. It's really what you want.
So I would be comfortable allowing Mr. Holzberg to initiate the project. Better in the design study and see what we can do.
Can you put that in form of a motion?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll move to allow Mr. Holzberg talk to Chris and talk to Gail Associates, our engineer, to enter into a study to see where we can put the special fuel farm. I'll second it. Is that a sufficient motion?
It's fine.
Okay. Any further discussion?
I have a question. It's just, I know that seems to be the elephant in the room here. What about Infinity? How is that going to affect their fuel sales? I know that there's no exclusive use.
Yeah, we have non-economic discrimination clauses in the grant insurances, and they came to us with a written request.
Okay. My understanding, I need to understand it.
Can I chime in?
We don't have minimum standards.
One statement that's probably worth just mentioning. I don't think there's anything wrong with my personal thing, but in my motion for him to look into it. But it is worth mentioning, though, that Infinity is on record of essentially doing the same thing. It we did the renovation of the terminal building, the de-icing, and the self-service fuel product tank. I'm only bringing it up because if it comes down to there's only one site for a self-serve facility on this airport, now we got an issue where, the airport authority granted permission for Infinity to explore prior, now, and then it's decided there's only one spot we can put this thing, now we have an issue. So I just want to bring that up.
Exactly.
I don't know if
you're asking the question.
Bringing it up.
Exactly why I raised the question.
Did we grant anything to Infinity? Was there a formal written request to do a siting study? And I don't
think yes, there was.
Was there?
It was a while ago. It was quite a while ago.
Okay.
Yeah. It's probably been 3 years.
Would it have predated the revision to the master plan?
No. It was 3 years ago.
No, I don't think. I mean, I don't know.
Because the master plan discussed very often designating a location for a shelter, potentially a shelter.
Sure.
Well, a master plan is only a guideline.
Yeah, it really means that's what I mean. I'm simply saying that if the court has then discovered, hey, wait a minute, there's only one place on this whole airport this thing can go, now we have an issue. That's the reason. And so the obvious concern is that now everybody has all this money invested into this thing, and right? So it just needs to be a little bit. If nobody's going to spend any money to invest in this thing, then everybody.
Do you remember what the amount of 100 low that the airport uses in a year?
150,000.
Okay. So 27,000 is a pretty good fraction of the
cost.
They're the single largest purchaser.
For sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not.
Thank you. Are we ready to move forward? Motion? Or?
Yeah. We have this, but I guess it's going to be, this is one of those things where we're heading into a path here. I don't mind people studying it and going and looking at stuff, that's fine. I just do worry that down the road, we are going to have an issue with, two outfits trying to get the same spot. And, how do we handle that? I guess that's something for another day. But I just want you to be aware.
I'm willing to move forward on that basis. it's fine.
Okay.
I think the motion that the chairman made to move forward with allowing them to do the study.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. The study only.
Right. No, I understand.
Not easily.
I wanted to raise the question. That's exactly what I was thinking.
And we do know, I had a discussion with Stephen Levesque today, that they are interested in a self-serve fuel farm as well. But again, Mr. Hallsworth came to us with a written request in a timely manner, and we have to honor his request. And again, we've talked about the grant assurances. Anybody can request,
right. But
you have to make that formal request. And if there is only one site that's approved, applicable to this, then I guess I don't know what we do at that point, but we will figure it out.
I agree.
That is a possibility, I think, for the record.
This request is for ground lease, the FAA request for that.
Mutually acceptable location. Let me ask another question of Director Karen. I would venture to guess that there can be more than one location. There's nothing that says you can only have one self-serve fuel pump. Mm-hmm. We've been to other airports that have two self-serve fuel pumps from competing entities. So I don't think there's anything on our master plan for anywhere that states you can't do that yet.
Right.
And so I think if both Infinity and East Coast Aero Club or whoever the LLC may be that does this on via Mark Holdsworth, I think they can both have self-serve fuel pumps per the law or regulation.
Chris, I wasn't necessarily speaking strictly of the law. Let me frame it a different way. If you put a self-serve fuel farm in this location and it costs you $300,000, but it's going to cost you $1 million over here because of site work, because of power, because of so on and so forth, who's paying $1 million? Who's paying $300,000? Right. So it may not necessarily be.
That's an economic.
Right. It may not be, okay, both can do it, but now, right. So, look, I'm just bringing it up because these are the dangers. I want to turn this into a minimum standards discussion. But these are the things that take place when you don't have a question. Now you have an issue where you have every right to come here and you guys really don't have a way to stand on the side of them or anything. But there are serious impacts to the airport if you don't have certain, options in place.
Really no impact on the airport. I would pay the same fuel flow fee that Infinity pays or anybody. I would be subject to the same rules.
But there is an impact, and that's why they have minimum. The reason they have minimum standards is to protect the health of the building. So if Infinity has to start competing with you because they have lower prices and you drop everything because your overhead is so much lower, they have to sacrifice the services that they offer, which sacrifices what the airport has to do. That's how it works. That's the whole purpose behind minimum standards.
And most airports with full serve and self serve fuel, there is a price differential to cover the cost of providing full serve fuel.
But the issue is the volume of fuel that's on the fuel. This airport produces enough fuel to sustain one FBO. If you start eroding that, the FBO services go away. You can smile, Mark, but the statistics
per year that sustain two FBOs.
Right, and one went out of business.
For 20 years it sustained two FBOs.
For 20 years? Mark, the airport used to pump 1.3 million gallons of gas. You know what it pumped last year? 500,000.
I'm not talking about jet.
That's all of that. That's all of
it. I understand.
Well, yeah, your argument is that there were two FBOs. Well, there were two FBOs, it was over twice as much fuel. That's why there's two FBOs.
Okay, so we have got a motion to. So we do a look. We have a motion on the table.
Yeah.
And the motion was to allow Mark to move forward with the study.
To figure out the replacing of the self-service plan.
Yeah.
So, we should vote on that.
Yeah.
There's nothing that we can't allow it.
And I think we're compelled to allow it.
Yeah.
So, compelled.
Second that,
call roll.
Jess, do you have any input before we have a roll call?
Yes,
I was just going to say that obviously there's a lot of questions that need to be answered here, but I wanted to say, Mark, thank you for writing the letter to the board and for kicking this off. I think a lot of people on the airport, our constituents, would be appreciative of self-serve fuel. So I think this is a good thing to explore. So thank you for writing that. I have no objections and happy to vote.
Chairman Woods.
Yes.
Treasurer Heath.
Yes.
Director Garrett.
Yes.
Secretary Holland.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Let's see, that brings us to upcoming events. I think Chris has already described those. The barbecue of Lions and Wheels of Moon in September. That brings us to public input, which is coming close to the meeting. Do we have any public input this evening? Okay. I'll take that as a no. Looking for election. Yes.
Well,
I'll
not
do. Okay, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Seconded.
Okay, roll call please, Chris.
Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
Director Garrett?
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Yes.
Okay, we are adjourned. Thank you. No, thank you, Chris.